Well, hey everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to this podcast again. We are just so thankful that our listeners just keep coming back, and I feel like we know each other now. So thank you so much for being here, for telling your friends, for sharing episodes. It means so much. And I've been playing around with the format of this podcast a little bit too, because I'm really committed to showing up from like a place of joy in my business this year, especially. Like, I am not taking clients that don't bring me joy. I am not doing things in my work that aren't bringing me joy. And so I'm playing around with the format of the podcast of like, what types of episodes are the most fun for me to record? Which ones do you guys like hearing the most? And so we've just been having so much fun having people on, doing coaching episodes. It feels so good to be able to help fellow creatives have some wins in their business and do a little coaching here on the podcast. I think like hearing other people work through their business journeys can be so helpful for us too. We can take pieces that apply and, you know, do a little editing to figure out how it works for us too. So excited. Wanted to just share a few updates. But yeah, so we're going to be doing more coaching episodes. We're going to be doing some interviews here and there, and then also talking about topics that maybe aren't often talked about out there. You know, if you follow me on Instagram, you know I love to ask nosy questions. I love to dig into topics like, hey, how are friendships going for you? Is it hard to build friendships as an adult? Is it hard to be the breadwinner if you're a woman? Like, is that a strained relationship dynamic, or is it just a little bit like trickier than you expected? What about money? What about investing as a creative? So we threw out this idea of having a taboo topic dinner party, and I think we're going to start doing them, just having meetups in different places and having a dinner where we kind of dig into some taboo topics, ask some nosy questions in person, and have a chance to just like get to know each other, hear different perspectives, be really empathetic, and maybe like gain some perspective and some wisdom from each other too. So that's another update of what's going on over here, is we're going to be incorporating some more nosy questions, nosy topics into the podcast, maybe having some in-person dinners here and there, on top of some of the other coaching and marketing support and things like that that we do at Dangerous Creative. So I just feel like spring always brings fresh energy, always brings like a new idea, or I don't know. I get excited about the possibilities in the spring, especially. The winter, I kind of like get a little cozy, do a little less work. I read a whole lot of A Court of Thorns and Roses this winter and dug into some slightly smutty fantasy fiction, and it was lovely. And now I'm feeling motivated and excited to get back out there and try some new things in the business and in the podcast. So grateful for you. I'm recording this right at the end of getting back from my annual birthday trip, which has become such a fun thing. And part of goal building in my business is like, okay, why, you know, we set these goals in our business. I want to hit this amount in revenue. I want to do book this level of project. I want to work with this client. And I think eventually we can get a little stale of like, why are we going for that goal? Or why do I say I want to make X amount of dollars? What does that actually allow me to do in my life? And so I try to make my goals really concrete of like, making this extra goal is going to allow my family to travel to this place. You know, travel is a huge thing for me. And one of my like core values is experiences and travel and adventure and new places. Or, you know, be able to retire by the time I'm 55 or whatever your goal is. I think the more that we can like get specific on why we're moving towards something, or like that moving towards that feeling, the easier it is to like stay consistent towards our goals. So one of mine is this birthday trip, which I started doing 3 years ago. And this was, you know, I get so much joy out of bringing people along on adventures too. That's why I love hosting study abroad workshops. I think travel is so transformative for people. So I was like, I want to be able to do this for my friends and my family too. So I started doing a birthday trip where I like will book a place. Several of the years I've like just booked a place and been like, if you can get to this city, would love to celebrate with you. Place is on me. Let's just like hang out together. So, 1 year we went to Ireland. I found this castle, this like beautiful castle. My birthday's on St. Patrick's Day. So like being in Ireland for St. Patrick's Day, something that was always on my bucket list. So I just like booked this crazy castle and was like, come hang out in this castle with us. We can play like hide and go seek in the dark and like, you know, pull tarot cards in front of the fire and stuff like that. And it was just absolutely lovely. And then we did one in Iceland. And then this year we went to Budapest. And this was the biggest one I've done. I invited a few more people and made it like a whole trip. So on my bucket list was this event called Sparty. And y'all know I love a sauna. I love like a hot tub. It's just my favorite thing. I'm always cold. And in Budapest, they have all these public thermal spas. And one of them on Saturday nights turns into like a rave and they play music. They have a DJ. They have lights everywhere. They have dancers. They have alcohol. Like it is debaucherous. And I've wanted to go since I was 18, not for the debauchery, but just because I was like, that looks hilarious and amazing. And like what better than a dance party in like a hot tub, you know? So I was like, hey, this is one thing I really want to do. No pressure to come. And so my group of friends went to this party with me and we just had the most wild time. It was so fun. And so I'm coming back from that trip and just feeling really excited about life and really excited about ways that we can design our life, design our businesses that like support our vision for our life, that make life really fun and exciting and that align with our values too, which, you know, is something I'm so passionate about of like, let's make our businesses more of an extension of us as we grow and are more successful. Let's continue to do things that are in line with our values and let's not like abandon ourselves on the way to our goals either. I think that is so easy to do is feel like we have to become someone else. We have to make all these concessions to hit some kind of goal in our mind of like, oh, that, you know, I have to be this way to do this. And I think authenticity and really living from a place of like connecting with yourself and connecting with your values is what makes us successful, is what makes life fulfilling and fun and abundant and all of the things. So today I wanted to dive in a little bit to my personal manifestation practice. It's something that like for years I didn't want to say the word manifestation. To me, I was afraid it felt manipulative or felt like it was not taking into account privilege and different things like that. And so I just didn't use the word. But the more I go along in coaching and in photography and in my own personal like healing journey, the more I'm like, no, manifestation is for sure real. So much of it is based in science, and like I have just seen it be such a huge part of growing personally and growing financially and growing in my business. And so I wanted to talk about it today and share a little bit of the manifestation practice that I've been doing for over six years now, how it's totally changed my financial picture. And my own, like the way I view money, the way that I feel about it, even my own anxiety levels. Like you can ask anyone and they'd be like, oh yeah, Kristen has anxiety, you know, or she struggles with it. And the more I like grow in this practice, the less anxious of a person I become, the more at peace I feel. I'm not like kind of constantly triggered by this fear around my safety. So today we're going to talk about it and I'm going to share the things that I do daily, weekly, yearly that build some of that practice into my routine and some of the things that I have manifested in the process. Y'all might only know us for this podcast, but Dangerous Creatives has been offering business coaching to photographers, creatives, and service providers for years now. And we have programs designed for you at each different unique place in your business, whether you're just at the beginning, scaling to your first 100K, growing from 100K up into starting multiple income streams and building a team, or if you are 300K plus and are ready for one-on-one consulting. We have so many different touch points that we have with business owners all over the world. And one of our most popular programs is the Road to 100K Mastermind. Our experienced coaches help each member design the strategy, the pricing, and the offers that align with your goals. This is no more cut and dry, one size fits all education. This is very specific business coaching that helps you hit your goals in the way that really works for you. So get the tools and, more importantly, the implementation and accountability to actually hit those goals. And this group, guys, it's so fun and it's so supportive. And the community really helps people excel and hit the goals way faster than they would on their own. We have breakout groups for wedding photographers, portrait photographers, service providers like social media experts, coaches, tattoo artists, health, beauty, wellness. And we have expert coaches in several different focus areas to help support you towards your goals. And our programs have some of the highest rates of results out there. So if you're interested in hopping in, you can check out all the information or book a discovery call at dangerschool.com/mastermind. So just for some context, when I think about manifestation, it's, you know, putting intentions out into the world, having a pretty clear vision of what you want your life to look like, and then taking action on it. And taking action on it means not only like doing things that will get you closer to that manifestation. So it's not just like sitting back and being like, all right, universe, like, why don't I have $1 million in my lap right now? It's taking action steps to make some of those things happen. But it's also doing self-work around feeling worthy of what we're wanting to call in. And that's a piece that I've found is so important, is that if we think for whatever reason it's not possible for us, if we're saying things like, hey, I can't imagine doing that, or I don't need to make $1 million, or people with money are bad, or it's selfish of me to want to make money, or I can't do it. You know, we find all of these things that we say sometimes out loud and sometimes to ourselves that are just kind of confirming that we don't think we're worthy of certain things. And those thoughts and beliefs are way more powerful than we think they are, you know? And so, you know, one of the reasons why I think like a narcissist is so good at manifesting or having things happen is because they just really truly believe they deserve it. So it's not about being like a good person or a bad person. It's like believing that we really truly deserve something, that our soul deserves it or whatever. And so it's frustrating when we see someone that we think of as like maybe not the most honest or maybe not the nicest, getting all these things they want. And, you know, we're over here trying to be the best version of ourselves, and we're working so hard and we really want to help people. And it feels like it's just such a struggle for us to manifest things. And there might be something there of, hey, maybe I don't actually believe I'm worthy of it. Or maybe there's something from my past experiences or from my childhood or the way I was raised, or just like a belief that I've been conditioned to have because of my culture or my gender or my race. Like, not all of those things are our fault, but we do get to take responsibility for the thoughts that we have and being able to like rework some of those beliefs. So there's so much like, there's so much to be said about like the privilege of not having trauma, or the privilege of being born into a like a upper class neighborhood. Like, those things are for sure so real, but also like every single person is powerful. Every single person can work on their mindset, work on their belief system. And because like we're all intrinsically worthy of these things, we just have all of this either conditioning or you know, experiences that have kind of like muted some of our ability. And, you know, I could go on this whole tangent about why women have been oppressed, especially over time. And I think a lot of it has to do with this personal power that why would other people want us to have that power, you know? So as I have tapped more into this, as I have built my own self-worth, I'm like, holy crap, I am capable of basically anything. I've been able to make things just happen. And so I think like being able to hand this down to people, to teach other people how to tap into their own intuition, their own sense of safety, their own power. Like it is such a thing that women used to pass down to each other, and men can obviously do this too. But I think a lot of times women have reasons why we feel like we can't. So that belief system is just so important. So some of the action is working on ourselves, whether that's going to therapy or meditating or doing some like reworking of our belief system through, reprogramming. Both we can do that with actions, and we can do that with more like work in our subconscious, like with meditation, self-hypnosis, things like that. So that's what I think of when I think of manifestation, is kind of this blend of action and spirituality, this blend of psychology and strategy. And I just think it is like such a superpower that not enough people are tapping into. So since we're diving into my personal manifestation practice, I want to give you a little bit of background on my story growing up to when I started practicing manifestation, because I had so many roadblocks with money. So I was born into a family that had some more funds. So there was a lot of, like, I got to see what it was like to live off investments. My dad was 30 years older than my mom, so he was already retired when I was born. And so, you know, in retirement, you're living off of the interest from your investments. Like, hopefully you've been investing in your IRA and your 401k, and you have these investments that are building equity. You know, the compound interest is going back into the market, and as things grow, it just like becomes this nest egg, which is hopefully what we're all retiring with when it's time for us to retire, right? At least that's the way that it's set up in the U.S. We can argue whether that is like actually supportive of people, because think about how much we have to put into that to then use someday when we're older. But anyway, by the time I was born, my dad was already retired. So I witnessed people living off of the returns of their investments. So I should have got this message sooner, that like money doesn't just have to be tied to work, because I like lived it. I watched it. But I heard a lot of messages about people being lazy, or family members, asking my dad for money, or people doing weird, shady things. Like there was a lot of negative emotions around money for me that I witnessed growing up, because I felt like people were always kind of asking him for money, and he would like lose respect for them. And so I got this message that like I needed to work my booty off, never accept gifts from my dad, always like be super independent. I got my first job, like, 11 years old. I was babysitting and saving up for my first car. I wanted to pay my own insurance. So there were definitely things that I benefited from my dad. He paid for college, which was amazing. But there was a lot of me feeling like, I can't take your money. I'm going to do this all on my own. I became like very hyper independent because I felt like if I accept money from him, he will see me as weak and he won't respect me because I've seen him do that to like other people. So that was one of my first messages. And then also I felt like I saw him. I saw people that I perceived to have money, like, it didn't feel good the way that he was demonstrating it. Like, I always felt like there was conflict and there was stress. And so I think the thing I took was like, oh, well, I shouldn't want that. I went into nonprofit work as my first job. I wanted to be a teacher. You know, I was like, let's take a profession that barely makes any money, 'cause then we'll have less drama to deal with. We'll have less people asking us for things. There won't be all these dynamics that as a kid I internalized as very stressful and bad and like not a good thing to have. And so I chose career paths that were going to be very simple, not anything like wrong with them at all. But I was like, I'm going to work in ministry and I'm going to help people and I'm going to never have very much, you know, like I think I developed a little bit of a martyr complex of like, I'm never going to have very much and I'm going to do good work and not need anything. And so a lot of my 20s were kind of scraping by. There was a ton of stress because I, you know, was taking jobs that didn't pay very much. And as we all know, like life is expensive and not having money, not having money was also stressful, right? Like I think I had made some of those naive decisions thinking that, that like my life would be easier without money, and it was not. And realizing that it is not, it's not as simple as like one or the other. I had overcorrected, decided I wasn't worthy of abundance, and it created a lot of stress in my life too. And so I had gotten married very young. I was still in college when I married my ex-husband, and I was working full-time at a church and was also in school and was not making very much and was like working in a high cost of living area and supporting my spouse. And so there was all kinds of stress around money, all kinds of things. I developed like an autoimmune disease because I was giving so much and wasn't like letting myself receive. So again, kind of this message of like, I'm only worthy if I'm killing myself, you know, I'm only worthy if I'm working myself into the ground and like self-sacrificing and even laying my health down for my family or my partner, like his dreams are more important than my dreams, all of those kind of things. I think a lot of people have been conditioned to do this. A lot of women have been conditioned to do this. And a lot of more like, you know, empathetic, anxious type people like me find themselves with an autoimmune disease or with anxiety or with a lot of things that cause us a lot of pain too. Cause we are like kind of still holding on to this belief that maybe we're not worth it, right? And so as I got later into my 20s, I started interrogating some of these beliefs that I had of like, why do I believe that I shouldn't make money or that I'm somehow better than other people for not, you know, like I was like, oh my gosh, I was kind of a judgmental butthole, you know, I was like, oh no, I'm better. And so I started interrogating some of that. I hired my first business coach who helped me a lot with mindset stuff and thinking about like a different way to think about money and a way to, not make it like so good or bad. I really had like put it in boxes of it's either good or it's bad. It like says something about my moral character instead of just being like a natural force that we're using throughout our life to, you know, enhance who we already are and live out our values and all of these things. You know, I've like totally done a 180 in how I view money and resources now because I see that like they get to be, it gets to help you do more of like what you care about and help gets to help you be more of XYZ instead of the opposite. And so right around the time my son was born, which was almost 9 years ago, there just was this new, like, I'm not okay feeling this stressed anymore. Like, I have a son that I want to create an amazing life for. I have passions and work that I want to continue to do for a long time. And maybe making myself sick is not the answer, you know? So I had this big wake-up call. And I think also someone to fight for, you know, having children, I think, makes you wake up in a way that, like, it would have been easy for me to carry on in the same way for a while and, like, not take care of myself had I not become a mom. And I think I was, like, 26, 27 when I had Hudson. And it just, again, was a big wake-up call where I was like, things need to change. Maybe I am important. Maybe, you know, maybe this doesn't have to be this hard. So started putting in some of these manifestation practices then, and the simple one I started with was a gratitude practice of finding little things to be grateful for every single day. And so that's usually what I recommend first if people are dipping their toe into mindset work or manifesting, is like, we have to already see what we like, that we are surrounded by abundance, like every single one of us is. Just look outside, look at nature, look at the people in your life that love you, that you love. Like, there's so much to be grateful for, and it's really easy to overlook it and to feel either entitled or feel like we can grab onto these little beliefs and make them really huge in our mind and actually create more suffering for ourselves, right? Like, one little thought can, when we put too much emphasis on it, can create so much pain in our own like spirit. And so that practice of gratitude really helps change it. It really does change like your body. It changes the way that you hold stress. So like every day, I don't do it quite every day anymore, but if you're getting started with this, I recommend every day writing down, like free writing, as many things as you can think of that you're grateful for, starting the day with that. I would go on a walk and I would have this little notebook that I kept in my fanny pack, and I'd pull it out and I'd write down as many things. I still do this. I also now have one on like right next to my bed. And so at the end of the day, I'll write down things that happened I was grateful for, things I manifested. I like to think, I like to look for evidence of magic everywhere, you know, like, oh my gosh, I heard from this friend that I hadn't heard from in years, and I'm so grateful that there's someone that's still thinking about me. Deborah bought my coffee. There was this random thing that happened that made me smile. Like, even the smallest things, when we start noticing them, we widen that neural pathway of like, there's good things happening. I don't know if you've ever fallen into the trap of like doom scrolling the internet, doom scrolling the news. The more you look for bad things happening, the more you'll confirm that bias too. And so like you could have two people that are like, is the world a good place or a bad place? And they could be living through the exact same circumstances, but because one is choosing to look at the good and all of the abundance, all of the beautiful things in their life, they would say the world is beautiful. And someone who is like paying attention to all of the bad things, everyone that's like ever like wronged them, everything that's ever happened, they could say the world is a bad place. And those two belief systems really do change the trajectory of your day or your week or your life, because it's like the, like when you are driving, and there's a name for it that my husband could say that I'm blanking on, but you see the thing in the middle of the road and you just like drive into it because you're staring at it so much. This especially happens in Mario Kart. You're like, oh my gosh, I was trying to avoid that banana, and then I stared at it too long and then I hit the banana, you know? And so that's kind of what happens too, is like when we give our attention to something, we inadvertently create more of it. And so training our brain to see the good, training our brain to believe in the goodness of people, believe that we're safe, believe that there's good things coming, it literally is changing our brain chemistry and our body chemistry. And I've seen that to be true for me. I've had like my autoimmune stuff is totally gone, you know, and I did other things too, but I really believe so much of it was my own mental work, my own practices, my own boundaries, my like left toxic relationships, you know. And I don't have the same physical ailments I used to have. And I had a legit illness, you know? So I just think it's so powerful. So gratitude practice is a place to start. Just write down as many things as you can. Start training your brain to see the good, see the things to be grateful for instead of the other way around. But before I share more of my personal manifestation practice, I wanted to share some things I've manifested since starting to do these practices. So it's been 9 years. I was trying to make a list, and the list is so much bigger than this, but these were kind of the like most mentionables or whatever, the ones that stand out. Was it 9 years ago? I was about 29 and I just turned 36. So maybe more like 6 or 7 years that I've really been practicing these things. So here in the last 6 years, things I've manifested: new income streams, a romantic partner when I was dating in my 30s as a single mom, dream birthday friend trips. I just told you about those. Those are so fun. World schooling that fits our family when we're able to travel and homeschool. I have 10x'd our net worth in 5 years. So that's the other thing too, is like the financial side of this. For me, when I started not feeling like I'm not worthy of money, it changed, and it changed so quickly. So 10x'd our net worth in 5 years. We've manifested multiple houses in the place that I wanted. Our dream wedding and honeymoon exactly when and where we wanted, on the date we wanted, at the place we wanted. Clients who I'm obsessed with, an aligned friend group who loves to travel, passive income through investments, courses, and a podcast, and rental income, a business that works with my creative, spicy brain, inner peace and less anxiety, first class flights, staying at a couple Aman properties, which are my like these hotels that I'm obsessed with that are on the more expensive side. Those have come through. 2 months off every year, dream SUV that's paid off, creative work that's super fulfilling, monetizing a podcast, tons of travel, France, Iceland, Colombia, Switzerland, Portugal, Japan, paid for trips with content creation, deep connections with friends and family, a 20-hour work week, financial freedom and flexibility, which to me means no debt, Coast Fire, which means I have enough in investments that I don't have to put anything else in there at my age of 36, and by the time I'm ready to retire, it'll be enough to live on. So that's what Coast Fire means. Investments and savings, clear financial plan with part-time income, healthy food, a big backyard with a creek, a playset, a wildflower garden, an attached apartment for friends and family to visit. And the list just goes on and on and on and on. I'm so proud of myself, but I also want to help you create these things for you too, and create a practice that feels so good that you can be like, holy shit, in 5 years, this incredible stuff has happened. Not only stuff that's fulfilling personally, but also like financial goals, business goals, all of the things. So I'll put it out in steps so that it's just real clear. So I already shared the first step, which is a gratitude practice that I do almost daily, especially at the beginning when I was working on this muscle, is a gratitude practice daily. And a gratitude practice will inform our own personal core values. Like, what is it that I feel so grateful for? When I do this exercise myself, it's my family, it's my health, it's close friends, it's financial security and safety, it's adventure and luxury. Like, I love upgrading a flight. I love a beautiful hotel. I love art. Like, I love to invest in beauty. I love to hire great photographers. I just love beautiful things. And I think a lot of us probably relate to this too, of like having beauty in our life just enhances our life so much. And beauty costs something, right? Like, we want to pay the artists that create beauty. Beautiful houses cost things. And so, you know, when I start writing down my gratitude list or my manifestation list, a lot of times it comes back to some of these core values of adventure, connection, depth, belonging, beauty, luxury, things like that, of and generosity, you know. So your gratitude list will inform your core values. And I love to take some of those values that you're starting to get more clear on and figure out, one, how you want to feel. This could be in your relationship or in your business or with your friendships or at home. Like, how do you want to feel? Do you want to feel beloved? Do you want to feel excited? Do you want to feel peaceful? And starting to build kind of a vision for your life from there. I'm a huge fan of vision boarding. I think it's fun. It like brings me joy. I love to see something like happen off, you know. I was like, I put it on the vision board and now it came true. But I think you have to get into this more soulful state for it really to be effective. Because there's kind of these two states in our brain. There's the more kind of egoic side of, you know, it's influenced a lot by what other people think. It's influenced a lot about what society tells us we should want. And it's not bad. Like, we live in a society that we need to survive and things cost things and all of that. And so ego is not bad, but I think like switching more into this soulful place can help us attract things from a more aligned space and not kind of getting caught in the like keeping up with the Joneses or doing what we think we're supposed to do. So kind of getting into the more aligned space is like, what really fulfills you? What really lights you up? What need are you trying to have met by this thing that you think you want? And can we like switch more to the need? So, for example, if I say I want $1 million, but I've only ever made $100,000, and then I'm like, okay, well, if I was working with a client, I'd be like, why do you want $1 million? And they might be like, safety, travel, things like that. And I'm like, okay, well, let's try to manifest like the safety and the travel then instead of the $1 million, because like the safety and the travel doesn't necessarily need – you don't necessarily need to have $1 million to get those things, you know? And so it's easy to lose the forest through the trees if you're always focusing on more the egoic side. Like, I know we've watched so many of our friends, or maybe you've experienced this yourself. Like, you basically build yourself into a golden box, you know? You're like, well, now I'm making all this money, but I don't feel more free. I don't feel more safe. I'm not traveling. I'm not doing these things because I'm like kind of chasing this other thing. And so it's not to say we can't or shouldn't want the amount of money, but having it come more from this like soulful way of getting there, I think like keeps us more aligned with our own integrity of like what we want from life. So try to ask yourself the question of like, why? Why do I want to be published in Vogue? Why do I want to have $1 million? Why do I want this house or whatever it is, you know, and see if you can put the deeper reason on the vision board. I want to feel safe. I want to feel loved. I want to experience all the beautiful things that life has to offer. I want respect, you know, whatever it is, like see if you can identify that core need for you, in that thing. And then I like to pull pictures that make me think of that core need or that value or that feeling, and I put them on a vision board. So like inner peace, that is something I might put into like inner peace or peaceful aesthetic. I might put that into Pinterest and I kind of find some different options. Maybe it's like running at the beach or it's like friends dancing. You know, there's something that represents that for you, that like it'll just speak to you when you see it. And so I kind of make this big Pinterest board. I start a new one every year on my birthday. And I kind of pull some ideas of like what's speaking to me, what pings are kind of like, hey, I keep hearing about this city, Budapest, and I've wanted to go, and maybe this is the year, you know? Like I start paying attention to synchronicities and I pin things on my board for my year, my birthday board. And then I pull a vision board template. So we have one that all of our clients use. I'm going to put it in the show notes. It's free to you, along with a masterclass of how to use it. But I start pulling it into a more organized board. And I go through these so quickly now. Like, I've gotten so good at doing this that I have to redo them every month because I've already manifested the things on the board in in weeks. And some of them are longer term things, but some of them happen so, so fast. And so I have to keep going through them. And the three elements of our visioning practice is pulling the photos, the original photos, the vision, taking it and turning it into action steps. So, if financial freedom is the idea that I want to manifest, then I need to decide I'm going to move $1,000 a month into my savings account, into my high yield savings account, or I'm going to open a Vanguard account and invest $500 a month, whatever it is. But you need to turn it into an action step that you can actually do and not just like, I'm gonna have $1 million in 10 years. Cause that's like, our brains don't know how to get there yet. You need to find the next step. And then the third part, which is the gratitude board at the end. So, I have like a March board with then the March goals and then the March manifested. And so I get to make the vision board that shows like how I actually attracted them in. And sometimes it looks almost identical to the vision board that I made. And I think it's so easy for us to just like move on to the next goal, to raise the bar, to just be like, okay, on to the next, and not take enough time to like thank yourself, thank the universe, thank the people around you, thank God for the blessings that have come to you. And so that's what the gratitude board is for, is to be like, yeah, I manifested that. Again, I'm using the word manifested, but some religions call this answered prayer. Some it's like goal setting. You know, I think there can be a lot of terms that are interchanged, but I like believing that there's something bigger than me that's helping all of this come together. And that kind of like letting go of my own control on things and trusting, it always works out. So sometimes it happens with like a random mailbox check, but I'll tell you, most of the time manifesting for me is trusting my intuition, going where it feels really aligned, like not doing anything because I feel like I should, or I'm supposed to, or other people think I should. Really, really listening to where my body feels drawn. I like to think of it as like, it feels like a little golden thread that's attached to my hip. And if this golden thread is pulling my hip, that feels like intuition, inspiration. It doesn't mean I'm not scared. It doesn't mean it's not like, ooh, you know, like you're growing, you're changing. Sometimes it's going to be like a little shocking, right? But like, there should be something that's like a sweet little golden whisper that's like, yes, you want to move this direction. This is meant for you. This is inspiring. And a lot of times it doesn't make logical sense. I do recommend, like, if you're going to just go and like, you know, trust your, you know yourself of like what end of the spectrum you are, if you're just like too impulsive or whatever, like have an emergency fund, have like a safety net for yourself. Don't just put a million things on a credit card and be like, the universe has my back. Not recommending any of that, but like start listening to your intuition a little bit more. And sometimes we have to take some leaps of faith and they feel a little bit scary. So I am so curious to see if you do any of these manifestation practices already. We dive in a lot more to it in our Money Magic challenge that's inside of our membership and Dangerous Creatives membership. We'd love to have you in there. It is super affordable to be in there for a year. It's like $55 a month and you get access to all of our content, our challenges. We're about to release we release a new one almost every quarter. So we would love to have you in it. If you want our free vision board workshop and template to start trying some of this on your own, it is in our show notes, or you can always find it at dangerschool.com/freebies. We have a ton of freebies. If you're building your creative business, if you're exploring starting a business or becoming a little bit more intentional in how you do things in your creative life, there's a ton of stuff over there for you to check out too. So I hope this has been helpful. I love talking about manifesting. So if this is something that you're already doing, let me know. And maybe let me know something that you manifested recently. I would love to hear it and celebrate it with you. And thanks as always for tuning in, and share it with a friend if you love this. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Dangerous Creatives Podcast. We're so thankful that we can deliver this awesome content to you each week, and we're so thankful for your support and that you keep showing up to listen. If you want to dive in a bit more, we have our membership that is open year-round. We just launched a couple challenges inside of it, the Money Mindset Challenge and the Vision Challenge, and those are things you can walk through at your own pace. They're super fun and easy to get through, and also really inspiring if you're trying to make moves in your business. We have a monthly call as part of that membership too. So you get to join for a year, have community, jump in with a bunch of creatives, and also walk through the curriculum together. So if you want more information on that, you can check out that and all of our other offerings at dangerschool.com. Thanks so much, and we'll see you soon. This episode was produced and edited by the lovely Jen Madigan Creative. Music for this episode was written and recorded by Chammy D. Thanks for being part of our Dangerous Creatives podcast community, and we'll see you again next time. Put your hand and ask it one time. Won't you get down?